Welcome to the Gatecast.
We're off to see the wizard.
Presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I was going to do my living room like this.
I am not Lucy.
Well, sir, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Hello, dark winter's evening, and welcome to Gatecast episode 64.
I have no idea.
I am reasonably confident it's 64 because you only did 63 on Saturday. Let's go with 64.
Can't even remember that far back.
You don't even drink.
What? I've got no excuse, have I?
No.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Crystal Skull.
Oh, that's got it. We have to have a little sting of the Crystal Maze feature in there.
Close.
Just, the little bit at the end where it repeats the musical sting and then does the last sort of din-din?
No, I never used to watch it.
Oh, there you go. I'm going to email Gary and see if we can use, in the interview, he actually sings the Gatecast theme. And I think perhaps for the season 3 wrap-up, we should have that as our theme tune. I actually appear to have acquired a life. Yes, I know, it's embarrassing. Which is why I'm getting the ruddy train to Dublin on Thursday, because there's no way I'm going to drive up again in the same week.
Is there some sort of a support group?
Gaining a life?
Yeah. Hello, my name is Annual. My name is Alan, and I've got a life.
Interesting slip. Folks, this man appears to think of me as a form of Daniel. Thoughts, considerations on this. I'll start a discussion topic on the Gatecast group for it.
Ah, yeah. Which character are you? Which character do your friends think you are?
And more to a point, which character do you think we are? I've shut line up. Could you actually hear him roaring there?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I've lowered him by
I only heard it because we weren't talking at the time.
Fair enough.
This is Robert Picardo, the holographic doctor from Star Trek Voyager.
And Richard Woolsey from Stargate Atlantis.
This is Vanessa Angel. This is Maris Rose.
This is Christopher Heyerdahl.
This is Clifton Collins Jr.
This is Mally from Dollhouse.
This is Alistair. And you're just listening to the sweet and tasty sounds of the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
Live long and prosper.
Did I fall asleep?
For a little while.
I got a bad feeling about this.
There is no spoon.
Hello, I'm Scott.
Hello, I am Miles P. McLaughlin, and we are the hosts of the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
We're just ordinary sci-fi fanboys.
In each show, we bring you the latest news from the sci-fi movie and television universe, along with our commentary on it.
We review the shows and movies that we're watching.
We bring you interviews with Stargate, Dollhouse, Star Trek cast members, and many more notables.
And test your geek cred with the trivia that all sci-fi addicts should know.
We also occasionally give things away.
If you are a lover of all things sci-fi, then come dine with us as we host the Sci-Fi Diner Podcast.
You can find us on iTunes.
Or on our website at sci-fi-diner.com.
I'm looking forward to, if we can tap this out reasonably quickly, in an hour I should be watching this. Oh, wait, no, they're taking a break. They're skipping SGU this week, aren't they?
Where?
In line with the States. Sky One Eye showing it.
Aren't they?
No, because the States get the following.
Well, there's an episode of SGU on tonight in America. That seems a bit strange.
I don't think Sky are showing it. This isn't spoilery, gentle people. This is just me noting the fact that I can't watch my current Stargate goodness. But considering the amount of shows I DVR, it's not as if I don't have anything else to look at.
It's, Stargate Universe on tonight, 9 o'clock on Sky One.
Oh, 9. What the hell do I keep thinking it's 8 for? I know why I keep thinking it's 8 o'clock. Because they always used to show the old... They showed SG-1 when there were still no episodes of that, and they showed SG Atlantis at 8 p.m.
Yeah, it's Fringe that is taking a break on Sky One this week. They've got a rerun in its place.
They've got what? A rerun? Oh, God.
They're showing an earlier episode.
Yeah, my box probably won't be able to tell the difference. It's stupid.
That's okay. The series links past this week's up, so it knows what it's doing.
I'll check it. Okay. Firing off in 3, 2, 1. Line fades. Fade in on Aztec-style pyramid.
A rather large one.
Yeah. considering how big the gate is, you get somewhere to escape on a plateau.
This is well over 1,000 meters high.
And as pyramids go, that's big.
I know of no gold structure of that magnitude.
Definitely Mayan. This is a major find. I have to see this.
Any signs of life there?
There is a breathable atmosphere, sir, but no complex life signs.
And for some reason, they've clearly been watching an episode of CSI because nobody has any lights on.
It does look good, though. Mm-hmm. Very atmospheric.
Yes, it's amazing what you can get by shining a light through a pool of water, which is basically what they've done. That gives you an idea of why the mouths are so expensive, considering the fact that the thing can sample and analyze air and produce in a live video feed in seconds an accurate analysis.
Oh yeah, it has some good parts, but the sum of those parts looks rather
nasty.
Yeah. You want something like Johnny Five running around. Oh, Sam's all excited.
Yes.
Normally, neutrinos pass right through ordinary matter, no matter how dense. I mean, something like 500 million billion just passed through you.
No matter how dense.
I like this little line from Jack, though. It's a
yes,
good line.
It isn't it?
Poking fun at himself ever so slightly.
Get closer.
I can't. The map's too big to cross this span.
Then zoom in.
Jack's eyes glazing over. Now, this is amazing. Daniel's seen something that even the Malk's camera doesn't really clearly show.
Mm.
But he spotted it.
I say at the speed of plot.
No, that's a crystal skull.
How do you know?
Because it's exactly like the one found in 1971 in Belize. By my grandfather.
Ah, da-da-da. Ah. Or else, like a lot of people, you used to watch Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
Mm-hmm.
I always remember the title sequence of that with the skull coming at you.
Suitably dramatic fade from teaser. Short but concise. So this week's episode, story by Michael Greenberg and Jared Paul. Cinematographers again?
No, Michael Greenberg's a producer. And I think Jared Paul, I read, was his nephew.
Ooh, nepotism alive and well in Star.
Well, you can just imagine it at home, the kid coming up and saying, you know, this. Perhaps I should find this and this and this. Then he goes to the writer and say, you know, I had this idea. Writing credit, please.
Adapted by... So this is a story of Brad's.
Yeah, he took the basic idea and wrote the story.
Sorry?
He took the idea and wrote the story.
That's Brad Roy and directed by Brad Turner. Both those names seem familiar. That's actually quite sophisticated from the looks of it. That's actually an early version of PowerPoint. This was broadcast in 2000 or so?
Yep, March.
I could name at least a dozen different crystal skulls from various parts of the world, but the skull that Nick discovered in Belize was unique. Nick? The great explorer, the not-so-great grandfather Nicholas Ballard. He preferred being called Nick even when I was a kid.
So yeah, that is PowerPoint hooked up to a laptop. I can see the laptop sitting there, because I recognize the slide transition styles. In 2000, yes, I was doing laptop projected PowerPoint presentations myself, so the technology existed.
And we're basically hearing a retelling of Daniel's story, as it pertains to Nick.
That if one were to look into the eyes of the skull, one would be teleported to see aliens.
Had a wild theory which totally destroyed his career.
Your grandfather saw these aliens.
Ironic that even Daniel didn't believe him, and then he went on to...
Yes, well, this is clearly why it's so important to Daniel, even though the thing was about 3 pixels wide and 2 pixels high on the screen. He still managed to spot it. That's impressive. Did he get those glasses off the Asgard? Carter's actually looking quite well.
Doesn't mean he wasn't right.
The academic community didn't believe your theory that the pyramids were landing sites for alien spaceships either.
We have to see this. I'll authorize a standard recon mission.
And... General Hammond looks significantly less rough than he did on Saturday.
Janet's throwing a spanner in the works.
At exposure, 10, 15 minutes at most.
Wait a minute, that's not enough time.
I'm sorry, Daniel, but there's a hell of a lot of radiation there. You can't just go there for a day.
If you'd been listening, you'd know that Nintendo's passed through everything. I heard.
Jack, brilliant.
You get the impression he doesn't listen and he's not really aware of what's going on.
You don't quite get it, and nobody's going to explain it to him.
It's like kids, it's like a parent when you're asking fish and you're explaining how completely safe and non-dangerous it is, and they pick up the one aspect of it which you're hoping they'd miss.
Muon radiation is increasing.
Unhealthy.
I don't think so, sir. Not if it stays at these levels.
And no, you can't go. Yeah, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I'd take one step back.
Whoever the builders are, they would appear to be a formidable race.
You could fit every pyramid on Earth inside this thing and still have room to spare.
No, I'm just really not, even on my friend's fourth floor apartment.
No, I'm not good at heights.
I'm not comfortable on the balcony.
I mean, that's a big room.
Yes. Thank you for leaving me the option of mentioning a map painting, which I didn't, especially after you gazumped me on it last time. Yeah, bugger, sorry, I should have set that phone to silence.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this episode is not a prime example of how to do map paintings and rear projection well.
No, it's
not good at all.
It looks kind of blurry, although I presume they're walking across something there. It's still a fairly big soundstage, but that looks clearly fake.
Oh, yeah, basically green screen. It's what Sanctuary does all the time.
Major, start the clock.
Cheaply, too.
Ah, but they managed to pull it off.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's one of the reasons Caprica was cancelled. Because Caprica did green screen, but it did bloody expensive green screen.
Yeah, the story is the important thing.
Mm. It's identical to the one Nick discovered in Belize.
Can you determine if it is a means of transport, as your grandfather believed?
Could you really tell if it was identical or a few microns difference?
I imagine he'd examined it.
Yeah, he's just looking at the damn thing. He's saying it looks a lot like it.
Yeah, Daniel tends to make these broad, sweeping statements.
Yeah, it gets him into all sorts of trouble.
Piece of physics.
It's like a living thing.
Wonder how far down that is.
A long way, Jack.
A very long way, Jack.
Yes.
He's looking around for a pebble to throw, isn't he?
Yeah, pass me that skull.
Daniel Jackson.
It's got him. Got him. Breeze out of nowhere.
Sir, radiation is spiking. It's at 300%.
What?
400.
It's one fancy remote control.
Right, that's it. Right here. Daniel! Where'd he go?
That was probably a mistake, Tilk.
That was a mistake, because if they'd actually let it go the full way...
He seemed to disappear.
Well, no matter what, you know...
That was a nice effect, though.
Sir, these readings are off the scale now. If we don't leave here soon...
The little ripple as his foot passed through Daniel.
Mm.
So it's not all bad effects this episode.
Radiation is getting higher. That's taking Carter out. Jack's okay. Tilk's okay. Look at that. Running in one spot. Oh, that's embarrassing.
Incoming travelers, sir. It's SG-1. Open the arms.
No, Walter.
Get a medical team in here.
Yes, and having listened to it, can I recommend to people the interview with Walter? We'll link to it in the show notes.
Of course you can. Where's Daniel?
Well, if we're going to say that, we need to spy Daniel with a red and blue stripy hat. Is it red and blue?
I don't know.
But you know what I mean.
Waldo?
Yes. I thought it was changed to Wally for the American.
Wake up, Jack. You lost Daniel.
He's coming too, sir.
Jack, you've lost 25% of your team. This will go down on your permanent record. Jack actually looks... I'd say they probably sprayed him with Mister.
She's still unconscious. Teal'c's better off than both of you. His symbiote is helping him. It was close, Colonel. If you hadn't left when you did.
What?
Yes, I know. We're trying to keep your temperature down. The muon radiation affected your hypothalamus.
No, it's hot. No, that's it. Yeah, that explains it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, another big word.
Oh, what did she say?
Hypothalamus.
Ooh.
Yeah, thermostat. Jack can handle thermostat.
As for Dr. Jackson, Colonel, he never returned with you. He is no longer there, General Hammond. The skull enveloped him in an energy field. I fired my Zednyakatel, but it was too late. He seemed to disappear.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a timer on a bomb. I know, let's shoot it. That'll stop it going off. I Meanwhile, back on the planet.
Oh, yes. So just footage of Daniel, but...
Yeah, don't move, Daniel. Speaking,
that may not even be Daniel. That could be the stunt double.
Could have been, yeah, it could have been anybody.
And the camera left again.
Still can't see him.
They're hardly going to say to Daniel.
Do the infrared sensors detect any sign of Dr. Jackson?
No, sir.
Oh, that's indicating infrared sensors, isn't it? You know, yeah, Walter didn't get to play with the mouth to this extent.
He didn't, did he?
According to him, when he did the audition, it was initially pitched as a sort of technical computer hacker type did. Presumably, they transfer a lot of those aspects to Carter.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The mouth telemetry suggests the radiation levels are still too high.
My simul provides me with a greater tolerance against the effects of radiation.
And if that thing zaps you to wherever it sent Dr. Jackson,
then I will have succeeded in locating him.
That's logic. That is still that's brilliant. That is. I'll find him. You may not know where I am, but I'll have found him.
You'd want confidence to run at that kind of speed.
Right.
Across a span that narrow with a drop that big.
I know it's all in the mind, but that's a problem. My mind's who's got a say in it.
What happened?
You paint a yellow line on a road, I'll run 50 yards and never take my foot off that yellow line. Put that same yellow line on that little bridge and I'll be looking down all the time thinking, I'm going to fall. Mm.
I saw that in some feckin' movie that he dropped the bag.
You just ran right through me. Tilk!
Yeah, don't need that.
I saw him in some movie and there's these guys, there's this very narrow span above a stage that they're trying to cross. And how do they cross it? They stand up and edge their way along it. No! Get down on your bloody hands and knees and crawl. You're vastly increasing the opportunity for you to fall by hiring your centre of gravity.
Well, that's how they crossed that chasm, wasn't it, in that test that Thor set up for them.
Yeah, walk. I mean, I'd be down. I'd be crawling. At least then if you slip.
You've got a chance of contact. Yeah,
you've got a chance of grabbing the edges of the thing. In fact, what you could do is drop your arms down to either side of it and crawl along on your belly.
Well done, Teal.
Oh, you don't see Sarla very often.
Regrettably, there was no sign of Daniel Jackson.
So I take it nobody else can see me either.
Dr. Rothman's awaiting the artifact in Lab 3C.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Carter will also want to study it.
As soon as she's fully recovered.
Recovered from what?
Yes. So now we have the same issue that, at the risk of MST3K-ing it, we have the same issue as we had. Oh, here's the thing, actually. Why did she faint? So basically, the liquid in her blood is only proof against certain things.
She's going to be fine, Tilk. Their exposure wasn't long enough to cause any permanent damage.
Doc!
You can protest all you want, Colonel, but it'll be a while before you get your strength back, so relax.
Oh, come on.
Doctor's orders.
That looks like Jack in the recovery position.
Yeah, he's not well. I assume it basically body mass affected Sam first. And she is, I mean, physically weaker than Jack and Teal'c.
Pretty much everyone physically weaker than Teal'c.
That's true. He's you know, strong, a few more like, seconds and Jack would have gone down as well.
Jack really doesn't look well. Fair play to the actor for portraying the not looking well. I've often wondered.
Dr. Rothman is now studying it.
Rothman couldn't figure out an ashtray. Guy we need working on that skull is Daniel.
It is he whom we endeavor to locate, O'Neill.
If they're required to do a scene where they're supposed to look distinctly ill, did they go in the rip the night before?
You're not strong enough to undertake such a mission.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, he's not quite ready yet, is he?
Till Budley picks him up and one hand, don't put him back up.
Stay.
Uncle.
You are welcome, O'Neill.
Sit, stay. Good. Why isn't Daniel affected by the radiation?
Daniel technically isn't there, is he?
I don't recall those orange pipes before.
Okay, you can do this, Robert. I know you can. Focus on the Mayan legends. The Lost Pyramids of Belize, the Ballard Skull. That's where the answer is.
Well, it's a crystal skull.
Oh dear, Rob.
It's a semi-recorded. You don't like him, do you?
It's not that I don't like him. It's that they make him out to be an idiot. And unfortunately, he's too much of an idiot. Well, yeah, he's almost, you know, the fall guy for the humour. And he wouldn't have got into this position if he was as stupid as they make out.
But he... okay, then I presume you have a little bio, character name, etc., who the actor is.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jason Schombing.
He is a recurring character. I do recall him coming back.
Well, he only does three episodes of the series.
Clearly he had a heavy effect on my memory.
He replaced Daniel on SG-1 for a while.
Not that skeptical.
I myself witnessed the artifact create a tremendous field of energy which engulfed Daniel Jackson.
It's made of crystal, not plutonium. I don't see how this could...
Humor me, Doctor.
So this is the second episode.
Yeah, he was, you know, a research scientist, then got promoted to SG-1 when Daniel went bye-bye. And
got demoted again. But do we even know if any of that actually happened?
Yeah, true.
Truthfully, we have no clue. That came out of Daniel's head.
Teleportation device? What do you think?
I think you're going to get fired.
You're going to get fired if you don't solve it.
You know, it's clear that Hammond gives the rest of the team significantly more leeway than he gives any of the employed staff. Basically, I think what Hammond is doing there is he's taking out all the sort of irritation and rage he should be aiming at Jack on that poor unfortunate research scientist.
In case I don't ever get
chance. Yeah, there's really no excuse for leaving your man behind.
If you hadn't come back for me, I might have been stuck in that place forever, so... Thank you.
Of course, they're Air Force, aren't they? They're not Marine.
Yeah.
It is the Marine Corps that say never leave a man behind.
I imagine that applies to all branches of the American military.
But I think there's actually a part of the motto or something.
Yes, it's me. It's Daniel. I'm right here. I'm right here. Just don't walk through me. It's very disconcerting.
Through me.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say before I was distracted by guest stars. This brings up the whole, he can walk through him, but Daniel isn't falling through the floor.
Yeah.
And it's the same as with the Tolan.
Well, the biggie is, how did he get through the gate? If there's nothing physical in this reality, this whatever you want to call it.
Maybe just very disparate, you know, low valency, loosely bound together.
He's just one of them, another one of them.
Stop! That is exactly what Daniel was doing when he was absorbed by the energy field.
That's what I've been trying to tell him.
I know that.
Sam's feels better.
Prove what?
That the skull didn't do this.
You don't think the skull is responsible for what happened to Daniel, do you?
I'm still here.
There was intense muon radiation at the time the
energy... There's no residual radiation.
Look, I saw what that thing is capable of.
I wish it was a teleportation device. I could use it to go find Daniel. He's my friend too, you know.
He has a point. I mean, should he take what SG-1 says as gospel and go on the assumption that it is a teleportation device, or go on scientific measurements and say it's a piece of crystal?
I'm sorry. That's my opinion.
Mm-hmm. It's all right. I'll take over from here.
Well, that's the problem when we're dealing with highly advanced alien technology. If it's not working...
There may be properties within the crystalline structure that are invisible to the naked eye. We should run some diagnostic tests.
Wait a minute, I'm not hungry or thirsty. Why not?
Thank you.
Oh, why hasn't Rothman been doing that? Hasn't he got the keys to the MRI machine right now?
Because I'm dead?
Rothman's basically a follow guy.
What?
Did anybody else feel that? What?
Burning up.
That must be a no then.
What if I'm a ghost?
Daniel's having a crisis existence. Mm. Yeah, what are you if you can walk through walls and people can't see you?
No, I think that was me.
Sir, we've subjected the skull to every piece of diagnostic equipment we have.
Did you hit it with a hammer? I bet you didn't.
What have you found out?
Nothing.
We could take another look at that planet, sir.
I'd strongly recommend against it.
Are they going to leave the mouth sitting there? How many mouths do they go through in a year?
Well, the only way they can get back is to actually go there to dial the gate anyway. So they might as well leave it there, analysing the cave, just in case the cave does anything while they're away.
Like, teleport the mouth?
Who knows? Let's be honest, they've gone to this planet, they've nicked something, they've run back, and then what happens? They criticise Mayborn for the same thing.
Launch when ready, Sergeant.
Launching UAV in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mark.
Hang on a second.
What?
I get the impression that there was DHD wasn't visible in the main cave. In fact, it was outside.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to fly around outside. They're not.
Yeah, look around the back of the 1 kilometer high pyramid.
Yeah, because I seriously doubt that thing is maneuverable enough to get into the tunnel.
No, you'd be able to get into the tunnel. You probably won't take the first corner. Especially when it looked like a 90-degree one.
It did, didn't it?
Yeah. The UAV will probably fly around the back of the pyramid and find a Starbucks or something.
I thought Starbucks had collapsed.
What, the coffee franchise?
Yeah.
Has it?
As in this country. I thought it had in that country as well.
I have no idea. I've never been in one. I've never even bought coffee in a shop. I'm not paying those prices for coffee.
I must admit, my first visit to Borders, I bought a soya non-milk latte.
Yes.
Purely because I could.
What?
We don't have much else to go on.
Find out what you can. But I needn't remind you, the details of this matter will have to remain classified. That means you won't be able to tell him what happened to Dr. Jackson or where the skull was found.
Careful, Jack. Don't lose that visitor pass.
Yeah, Jack especially. I wonder, is this by any chance the same asylum they used when they locked Daniel up? I'm not saying it's the same asylum plot-wise, but is it the same asylum? Teal'c looks very 30s.
He does, doesn't he?
You know, fedora. And Teal'c clearly has a sense of fashion, because it's fedora and matching suit. I mean, he actually looks fairly sharp. I wonder, is that the actor's... Is that wardrobe, or is that the actor actually owns?
Yeah, that's his normal day wear.
He looks well in it.
You always think Chris Judge is a bit of a peacock anyway.
Not that I'd say it to his face.
No, that's a compliment, in a way.
You may take us to Nicholas Ballard immediately.
He's just a little anxious to see old Nick.
Oh, are you close?
Yes. No.
Yes, extremely.
Well, I'll just check and see if he's ready for you.
What am I waiting for?
Yeah, what are you waiting for, Daniel? You can walk through walls. That's a very British attitude to take. I'm a ghost, but I'm going to wait for permission.
Out of here. Just outside. Would you like to see them now?
I miss him.
And Daniel's grandfather, played by...
Jan Roos, or Rubus. I'm not sure exactly how you pronounce the surname.
French-Canadian?
No, born in Czechoslovakia, as it were.
Yes, it would have been Czechoslovakia, given the guy's age.
Yes. Unfortunately, he passed in 2009.
Any other genre work?
He did Due South for a bit. MacGyver, X-Files.
He did MacGyver, so I wonder if RTA remembers him.
Tell them everything. Just trust them.
Nick, this is Colonel Jack O'Neill. He's a friend of Daniel's.
Doctor, would you mind if we...
Yeah, get out, Doctor.
Nick.
Jack.
That's a depressing room. It really is.
Isn't it?
Brown walls.
It's an interview room.
With bars.
Yes, well.
Daniel followed my footsteps.
You must be very proud.
He made a fool of himself.
He must have really gone off the deep end, unless he's in there voluntarily.
Happened with Paul Merton. Oh, sorry, my arms are a little stiff. You know why.
They're made by aliens.
Yes, well, that's...
He was more insane than I was. I told him so. I told him to forget all that nonsense.
It wasn't nonsense, I was right.
Yeah, it's a valid point, Daniel.
Exposition, exposition, exposition.
He hasn't published a paper in 2 years. Now where is he? Where is he now?
He's in the corner. He's over there.
Yes.
This is perfect. You know, you can learn exactly what people think about you.
Nothing happened. There were no aliens.
Trust them, Nick.
No one believed me.
Daniel believed you. Oh, no, don't. Don't.
He didn't. He wanted to. He did listen. In the end, he did not believe in my theories of the skull, just as I did not believe his theories of the pyramids and the aliens.
I guess we both were right.
Oh, that's a bit rough. If your own flesh and blood didn't believe you.
Yeah, well, you're the sort of mad old relative.
Yeah, but, you know, he was a scientist. He might have come up with some out-there theories.
I wonder if his work inspired Daniel to risk his career and publish a bloody book.
I think the family's pretty much stubborn. That's the only explanation. I mean, Nick's experiences would probably put you off ever doing anything out of the ordinary.
Take me there.
We can't do that. It's classified.
You have to. If you don't, then I won't tell you anything.
Daniel could have had a career just digging up pyramids and tombs and probably had a decent tenure and lived happily ever after.
Yes, but then we wouldn't have a good science fiction series.
Yeah, but we'd have cracking adventure series.
No, we've had young Indiana Jones.
That's what I meant.
I'll pretend I knew that. I was just being self-referential.
Colonel, there is no greater secret in this nation than the Stargate.
So we keep him away from level 28.
A civilian who spent the last 20 years of his life in a psychiatric institution?
Exactly. Who's going to believe him if he says anything?
Colonel, you walk a fine line.
Thank you, sir.
How is Daniel travelling about?
He sits on the roof of the van.
Hammond.
General, I know you can't hear me, but thank you.
Absolutely. Put her through. Kayla, sweetheart, this is Grandpa. Isn't this past your bedtime? You lost another tooth. Well, you put it under your pillow tonight. I'll bet your big sister Tessa wishes she lost a tooth.
So other people can ring him on the red phone, can it?
I'd love to come to see you and your school play tomorrow night, sweetheart, but can't. Well, a very close friend of mine is lost, and he needs my help. Yes, he's a very close friend.
I mean, there's just so many holes in...
I mean, he had to run to keep up with Tilk so he could get through the gate.
Mm-hmm.
I only take my orders from the president and my granddaughters.
Oh. And your grandchildren, yes.
I just think, you know, they probably drop this bit into this episode and it actually pans out later on.
I don't think you should touch that, sir.
It's all right, Sergeant. Thank you. Nick, this is Dr. Robert Rothman.
It's a pleasure to meet you. It's exactly the same as the one I found in Belize. Where did you find it?
We can't tell you that.
You have to tell him eventually, Jack.
The skull stood on a stone pedestal.
And of course, Daniel didn't realize that his sideburns are grown to such a ridiculous extent. Sorry, it's the first time we've seen a close-up side view of his face. They're normally hidden in shadow like that. But God, he's got big sideburns.
What we need is a skull to turn round as someone walks into the room.
And the way it's mounted, that'd be, I suppose, a motor in the base of the thing it's mounted on. But it'd make an obvious hearing noise.
Yeah, I imagine that they can quieten the sound to make it appear like it was a supernatural event.
I would say that he is far more qualified. I just pointed at the screen. He is far more qualified to say it's exactly the same as the one he found in Belize than Daniel is.
You could probably believe him more, but I still say that if it was a few microns difference, you wouldn't be able to tell visually. So it's an assumption it's the same.
Mm-hmm. There. And then they came.
They?
The giants.
Giants?
The giant aliens.
Oh, you should see how the transcript has interpreted what Nick's about to say.
Yeah, it's a pretty vivid description of where they've been.
Yes. Daniel's got a long-suffering expression on his face, even though he's not even focused. But, oh, God, here we go again. My crazy grandfather does crazy running the family, etc., etc.
Yeah, but... everything that SG-1 have experienced and Daniel's experienced at least should make you think, perhaps there's something to this, especially since he's describing the place we've been to.
Under the temple in Belize, and the ground was shaking as in an earthquake, and I just grabbed a skull and...
Jack's doing everything but the little twisty finger motion at the head.
Yes.
Wow. It's, giants.
Yes, Jack's kind of going, oh, okay. There is a nice reveal, I have to admit, coming up in a couple of minutes.
I spent years trying to find it again, but it was as if the temple never existed.
So I guess you couldn't take us there either.
Can you imagine what it feels like to go on the most incredible journey of your life?
And my God, that guy's eyebrows actually extend about a foot out from his face.
Character.
Yes, I don't want character. I want the face I had when I was 20.
Q, you
You want to escort Nick down to the VIP room?
Minus the acne, obviously. Right.
Yeah, I hope you lot feel guilty now. This guy's bearing his soul to you.
Nicholas Ballard, come with me, please.
Ballard, now, is that the first time we've actually heard Daniel linked to the Ballard family? I presume he's his maternal grandfather.
So,
I don't know if it's ever specified.
Tell you anything?
Oh, maybe. I mean, I... No.
Well, it has to be, because it's Daniel Jackson.
Okay, then I've never given it one second's thought.
He's his grandfather. The guy's name is Nicholas Ballard. He doesn't share a surname, so I'm assuming he's his mother's father.
He had to have been there.
Giants?
Yes, that's weird, I admit.
Somebody built that place.
Then help us.
But if he really was transported to P7X-377, maybe this ghost trying to send me somewhere, and something interrupted the process.
You get the feeling that Daniel's still around.
We have to go back there.
Daniel's putting this together. We haven't actually seen us. This is an interesting three-way dialogue, since it's not really a three-way.
Yeah, and they're conveniently leaving pauses for Daniel to talk.
Yes.
Or radiation sickness.
Good night, sir.
What? Well, that's it? Whatever happened to working through the night?
Yeah, now he's a bit shocked.
What?
They're going to bed.
I'd do it for you.
And there's Daniel. Hang on a minute, I'd be up all night researching for you.
When you see Daniel, would you tell him never mind. It's something I should tell him myself.
Very well.
Yeah, the female guard, Tracy Westerholm. She was one of the soldiers in Hathor who retook the base. Always nice to see she's still got a job.
Yes, considering she probably zatted. Oh, no, she didn't zat. We didn't have zat at that stage.
I am sorry.
Now, how quickly will Daniel catch on that he's having a real conversation?
For what?
For not adopting you when your parents died.
You were traveling all over the world.
It wasn't your fault.
I was 8 years old. How could it be my fault?
I am sorry for allowing my obsession to drive me to madness.
He's looking at you, Daniel.
Would you forgive me?
You can see a little light bulb moment.
Oops.
There. Hang on.
You can see me?
What if he just said no?
Why didn't you say something?
Daniel's a little upset. You're not real. I'm crazy, remember?
Hallucinations always say that.
Not this time, Nick. The skull did this to me. I'm trapped. I'm in another dimension. I'm out of phase. Something. Look, all I know is I need your help.
Oh.
If you don't help me, I don't know how I'm going to get home.
Sorry, I've just scanned ahead briefly. To a Jack comment.
So what do you want me to do?
Sirs, Mr. Ballard insisted on seeing both of you immediately.
Forgive me. He insisted. Daniel is here.
Okay.
Drop the Jack line in.
Repeat what I'm saying. I'm standing right beside you.
Standing right beside me.
He's lost a few pounds.
Jack, don't be an ass.
Jack, don't be an ass.
It's classic, Jack.
Even Janet's amazed at that.
The planet, and we have to let the skull finish what it started.
We must go back to the planet.
Planet?
Have you been talking, Jack?
Not a word, sir, I swear.
Daniel told me all about the Stargate. We must replace the skull on the pedestal so that the giant aliens will come. Something must have interrupted this process.
He always has a good few lines, then the giant aliens comes in and he loses the audience. Janet is a little thing, isn't she? Yeah, we have to stop shooting the alien machine.
We have to trust it.
Why didn't you say something sooner?
I thought I was hearing voices. It wouldn't have been for the first time.
Yeah.
That nice little piece of... I must stop reading ahead in transcript, Ballard.
I went through the same experience.
You've given out to me about that before. Yeah.
Tell General Hammond if we go back right now, he might be able to see his granddaughter's school play after all.
Drop in the little piece of personal information.
So, your office is booked.
Why is a personal call coming in on the red phone?
That was my point when he was on the red phone. I assume the red phone was just for contacting the president.
Well, that and his kids.
Well, they've got the number. They actually rang up Cheyenne Mountain. Can I speak to General Hammond, please? I'll put you through.
Absolutely certain you and SG-1 can safely return to the planet?
Say yes.
Yes.
It's good enough for me, sir.
Nice editing by Nick there.
Yes. Keep saying yes, it works.
Daniel sort of...
Its connection to the cavern?
Yes, I think the skull is just the icon that represents the human form.
Yes. Daniel said you should come along to make it work.
Wait, I never said that. I'm taking advantage of it.
Yes.
This is what you have been doing these past few years.
Exploring planets.
SG-1, you have a go. Maintain radio contact.
Always good to see the person's first reaction to the wormhole.
Then, behind that...
is the rest of the sound stage.
Yeah.
There is another world. You must tell me everything.
Yeah. How they produce the light effect. I mean, is it shining a bolt light through a bowl of water?
After you, Nicholas Bellin.
I imagined it's something very, very simple. Mm. Oh, no messing.
We haven't seen that in a while. Oh, they ejected them at some speed with that halfway down the corridor.
It did, threw them halfway down. Recall the map and just let it travel down. Or get some segways or something.
Yeah, that might get an old man walk about 2 kilometres.
It's just as I remembered it. This is where they live.
Halfway there, I need a rest. Grandad.
No, I need a rest. Given his age, he probably needs a pee.
Gets the folding chair out and the flask of tea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to him, Jack, because if he falls down now...
you're buggered.
Oh, this is not bad, good.
Yeah, no, it's not. It really takes you over, doesn't it? It's very clearly back projection. Ah, this is the bit we actually built.
I say, I'm sure these super-duper intelligent aliens didn't really build it with all the cracks in. Almost as if they mirrored the temple on Earth, as opposed to the other way around.
Possibly.
And he trips on one of these cracks and the skull goes over the edge.
I don't know if they're cracks. They could be individual stones.
Well, yeah.
Now we must wait for the giant aliens.
That just has a nice ring to it.
Stop saying that.
Jack's still kind of... yes. Yeah, right.
We're on the giant alien planet. Describe him as something else.
General Hammond.
We're in position.
Understood, Colonel. Proceed.
Proceed. Well, what were we supposed to do?
Into my eyes.
Well, that's it. He's told Jack to proceed, but they actually haven't gone there to do anything apart from put the skull back and wait and see what happens.
Interesting. Yeah. Ruffling everyone's hair, except Teal's, obviously.
Sir, radiation's climbing again.
This is incredible. Daniel said to let it happen.
So the radiation this time isn't so dangerous.
Maybe it's only dangerous if the process is interrupted.
I'm back.
Yay.
Sam. It worked.
O'Neill.
Oh. Something's gone wrong.
Major Carter.
Where'd the air go?
Carter?
It appears that we're out of phase like Daniel, but Teal'c isn't.
Why? You're asking me?
Well, why is usually Teal'c singled out? There is form in this regard.
I was not teleported with the others.
Return to base immediately.
Why?
Yeah, it's not as if he can... Does that mean he gets to lead an SGT?
It's convenient. I mean, once Tilt's out of the way, the giant aliens make an appearance.
Yes.
Or is it that...
things.
They need Christopher Judge off stage so they can do the voice of the giant aliens.
Smoke!
Oh, my God.
Asgard music again. Is it just to represent...
godlike beings.
Yeah.
Blue! What's your name?
Kevin Waddle. Are you hunting, hunting with him?
Yeah.
Daniel? And that's not me reading it in the transcripts. That's just me knowing, Jack.
Yeah, you knew that was coming.
Yeah, what the hell did he say?
Because he's Jafar.
He's carrying a symbiote. The Ghoul.
We are enemies of the Ghoul!
Then you are welcome here.
Keep talking.
We're travelers. We come in search of friendship.
The Ghoul really did go around making a lot of enemies.
Oh, suddenly they speak English.
Yeah, convenient. Yeah, I'm sorry about stealing the skull before.
You may remain.
Me?
Him?
We have
but
better...
You're playing the giant aliens now, Jackie. Don't need to be skeptical.
No, Daniel. Let me. Nick, this was my life's work. I've been hoping for another chance at this for 29 years. Please.
You just came back into my life.
I'll be back again.
You think this is what the aliens actually look like?
Look again into the eyes of the skull.
Or is it some sort of projection?
It's an avatar, and yes, I know it's not blue.
Well, Nick.
Yeah, just got it.
Take notes.
I will.
In the skull only responds. Did they speculate on that only response to Daniel's family?
Or oh no, because
to the eyes of the skull.
Yeah, that's the way they're going to get back.
You have to tell me everything.
I promise. Daniel.
Shouldn't Daniel go and stand beside it?
I am proud of you.
Well, I think the aliens must control it. It can't be upset on automatic.
Mm.
Goodbye.
Yeah, it's sort of an answering machine.
Grandpa.
Oh, Grandpa.
It's the sort of alien equivalent of the little camera in the door phone on the apartment building. Mm. Step off, we'll catch you. Well, no, he won't be bothering us anymore.
Yeah, shame about that.
Oh, Dan Shay.
There was a lot of potential to get the character back, but obviously they decided not to do that.
Yeah, they still might. Of course, they can't really, no.
But no, you're gonna say
what they could. No, but what they could claim is that the aliens had reverse aged him.
Yeah,
and bring in a different actor. It's by no means the greatest stretch the series made. Hell, it's not even the greatest stretch the series
well,
made.
That's true. They did it in Harry Potter.
I'm not looking forward to that arc.
I don't mind the Harry Potter series. I even like the books.
I read the books up to book 6, then I gave up because
you didn't finish it.
I didn't finish it because I thought by book 4 they clearly stopped even trying to edit.
Yeah, they were rather long, that's true. It's actually a case where the films are probably a good representation of what the book should be. Normally it's the way around.
Mm-hmm. With the possible exception of The Shawshank Redemption.
I've never read The Shawshank Redemption.
You've seen it, though?
Oh, yeah, stunning film.
Yes, it is almost word for word the book.
Is it?
It is, without doubt, the most accurate on-screen representation of a book I've ever seen.
Yeah, more normally I find Stephen King way too wordy.
Well, you see, it's a novel.
Oh, right. Probably explains it then.
Indeed. Well, that were Crystal Skull. Interesting episode. Sort of fairly light, quite humorous.
Oh, yeah. Like you mentioned last time we recorded, it seems a strange episode to have this close to the season finale.
Yeah.
But perhaps they decided that they wanted something light and then go out with a bang.
Or a clank.
Yeah. Or a rattle or... Describe it how you want.
A sort of scrabbling noise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad episode. I wouldn't necessarily say it was my favourite, but it's not a lot. Kind of the, it's the episode equivalent of a bag of popcorn.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
There's some nice humorous bits in it. You know, the Jan Rube, who plays Nick, played the part fantastically. You know, you saw in him what Daniel could easily have become if he'd totally lost it, which in the movie, when he actually was recruited to the Stargate programme, he wasn't far off from having nothing.
No. But he was recruited by, what's her face?
Catherine.
Yes. And again, I wouldn't have put it past him, unless he's since passed, of using the same guy to play Nick as they... I suppose they'd give it another couple of seasons. But they could have theoretically redressed the guy who played Ernest to play Nick.
Yeah, yeah, that probably would. He's
already dead at this stage.
Yeah.
You can contact us by going to the website gatecast.phasecast.com. I may actually just re-register the bloody domain. And click on the Contact Us tab and fill out the info and we'll receive that. You can email, this is new, you can email gatecastpodcast@gmail.com, which is an address I really should have set up quite a while ago. You cannot, as has been tested, phone us at present. However, if you have virtually any device that was manufactured after about 2004, although some of you are probably hanging on to phones for that long, you can record an MP3 and email it to gatecastpodcast@gmail.com. It's the other reason I set up the address. It will have plenty of room to accept MP3s, which we will quite happily play, won't we, Mike?
Yes, we will. In fact, that's a great way to do it. A lot of the time, if you ring live, you know, you stumble over words, you forget what you're saying. And if there was a time limit on the recording, which we have no idea because we can't check it. Oh, to be fair, the recording was made, but just don't know where it is.
Yes. It exists in potentia, as it were.
Yeah.
Our due apologies. Was it David?
Daniel.
Daniel. Our due apologies, Daniel, but it is out there somewhere. We just can't bloody well access it.
Yes. Nothing is lost on the internet.
Oh, it's lost. The point is, it's not found.
The result is, we ain't got it.
Yeah.
We'll never get it.
We'll never get it. It's gone, David. Accept it. Move
yes.
on.
It probably would have been a fantastic piece of feedback. It would have been feedback that rocked the world, and we'll never hear it.
Unless, of course, you have a memory at the level of mine, and you can repeat exactly what you said. So feel free to record an MP3 and send it to us. So that's pretty much it. We exist on iTunes, on Podcast Pickle, on Podcast Alley, and on the aforementioned website. Oh, yes, tweet. Sorry. I'm staring at the bloody thing. You'd think I'd recognize and mention it. You can send us a tweet at The Gatecast. You can also come onto The Gatecast Facebook group. Thanks for listening, folks. We will be back.
Yeah, the season finale, Nemesis.
Yes, where we first get introduced to certain little irritating thing.
Richard Dean Anderson stars on the next Stargate SG-1.
What are they?
They are the enemy of the Asgard.
Thor's ship has been overrun by a bunch of nasty techno bugs.
Technology goes on a rampage, destroying worlds.
They have become a plague on our galaxy.
And annihilating everything in its path.
They plan to land the ship and infest Earth.
Now, it's us or them.
Anybody who comes up is not getting down.
Sir, if you can't get off the ship...
Yeah, I know.
Are going to die.
On the next Stargate SG-1.
Thank you once again for your tireless editing. I will admit, it's the biggest pain in the arse, especially the amount I blather. Because I listened to some of them and I sound coherent. What the hell have you done?
Ah, just chopped every other word out. It's amazing, isn't it?
I will admit, I don't think I say and eh very much, but
I do.
I'm probably very wrong. I had noticed.
Ah, now I'm not saying anything because the first thing that came to mind was,
Right, farewell, folks.
Goodbye, everybody.
You've been listening to Gatecast, presented by Alan, Mike, and Scott. Visit us at gatecast.facecast.com.